Meeting started. Thank you. Good evening. Welcome to the December 6th, 2007 open session of the Los Osos Community Services District. Thank you for joining us tonight. Could we have a roll call, please, Ms. Vega?
Director Sennett.
Here.
Director Schicker.
Here.
Vice President Sparks.
Here.
President Cesena.
Here. Thank you. Report out of closed session. Ms. Biggs, could we hear from you, please?
Yes, the board met in closed session on the various matters on the agenda regarding potential litigation, pending litigation, and personnel matters, and there was no reportable action taken on any of these.
I think there was one question asked earlier that we probably could answer, and that related directly to the bankruptcy and the status of arbitration, and we expect to be going to arbitration with contractors end of March. I believe that was expected to move forward about there.
Yes, the bankruptcy stay will be lifted March 31st, and thereafter there will be some arbitration, but we don't have any dates at this point.
Thank you. Okay, tonight being the first meeting of the month, it is our regular session, and that means we have general public comment for items not on the agenda. Gwen Taylor, you have a question. We can't. Mr. Schimpf.
I was just talking to the district council on that very subject just a minute ago. I talked to John Seitz, who was the attorney that that pursued this. The case has been agreed to, but it pending the outcome of a water plan. So it still will remain an item in litigation. The litigation won't be completed until we've completed the water plan, hopefully within a year. But your point is well taken, and we will be pulling it off the agenda, and certainly for a closed session. If we talk about it anymore at all, it would be an open session because it's a good thing. Today we met, actually it was the second meeting of the Water Purveyors Group. We had quite a collection of folks around the table, a lot of good ideas, it's been kind of a rough week for your general manager, a lot of committee meetings and a lot of items here and there. This was a bright spot today. The Water Purveyors Group, even Golden State, everybody's kind of letting their hair down, bringing the stuff out on the table. We're going to be collecting the data, working together, putting in grant requests. I see it as a real way to finally make some progress on a basin plan on the water side, which, of course, as we all know, is half the battle. If we can do the best on our water side, then that helps on the wastewater side as well. So it's a really good point, and I'm glad you mentioned it.
Okay, and with that, we'll move to general public comment. So please step up to the lectern, and you have 3 minutes. State your name. And as we were reminded earlier during a closed session comment, it applies more to closed sessions, but minutes, since they're not verbatim, if you really have a point you want to drive home, make sure it's the top of your comments. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jan, and I live in Los Osos. It is my pleasure to be one of the volunteers, along with others that have gone out in San Luis Obispo County asking merchants and citizens for donations for our second annual Needs and Wishes fundraiser for the Maxine Lewis Memorial Homeless Shelter that will be taking place right here this Saturday at the South Bay Community Center located at 2180 Palisades Street in Los Osos from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. When there is a need in this county, I must say the people answer the call. I am personally so thankful to all of the individuals and businesses alike who have given without hesitation to this fundraiser for the homeless. At the end of the day, if we have changed the look in the eyes of even one child from fear and anxiety to hope and optimism, then our event will have been a success. No one should have to be homeless. I encourage you to come and take part in all the fun and activities that have been planned, such as Christmas music and singing, live and silent auctions, Santa's toy store, raffles, a secondhand store, along with barbecued hot dogs and hamburgers available for purchase. Admission is free, as well as free cookies and hot chocolate. There will be large glass jugs available for loose change to be deposited into. Don't forget to bring your cameras and have your picture taken with Santa. Every penny raised on Saturday will go directly to the shelter. I hope to see all of you there. Thank you.
Frank Azaleo. Since we have the new general manager here that I haven't met yet, I want to keep driving home the point about water, because that is one of the main factors and concerns that I've been presenting for a long time, and this will probably repeat for you. But the in the water usage by the county, it says a third is used approximately by Golden State, a third by the CSD, a third by private wells, and that any plan right now seems to leave the people who have wells out of the negotiations of what will be done with that. My concern is that we may be moving towards importing water at some time, and I find that not to be acceptable. I find many people in this community who don't want to import water because of the enormous amount of cost it would be placed in addition to the cost of the wastewater system for those of us in the Prohibition Zone. Many people in the community, even those outside the Prohibition Zone, feel that the water issue is everybody's issue. It's not just those in the Prohibition. And so my concern is that those who have water purveyors may be picking up the cost for any additional seawater intrusion, which is a big problem. If we lose our water basin, that's it. And so I would encourage you to, when you look at this, is look at ways that the cost of the additional 50%, because in the TAC meetings they talk about all the systems, wastewater systems, will be about 50% to towards stopping seawater intrusion. So there's another additional 50% that's going to have to come somewhere, and the cost for that's going to have to come from somewhere. And I don't want to see it being tacked on to those of us who live in the Prohibition Zone. So a way that all people who use water in this water basin are responsible to see that it continues for a long period of time. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Don Bearden, Prohibition Zone, Los Osos. The California Code says that after January 1st, 2007, the Los Osos Community Service District shall not undertake any efforts to design, construct, and or operate a community wastewater collection and treatment system within or for the benefit of the district. It also says that the district can provide facilities and services in the territory that is within the district but outside the Prohibition Zone. Therefore, I ask you to tell the Wastewater Committee to get out of the wastewater business inside the Prohibition Zone and concentrate on the development of a septic tank maintenance program for those outside the Prohibition Zone. Section 285.5A7 says, it is the intent of the legislature in enacting this section and amending Section 61.105 to authorize the County of San Luis Obispo to design and construct a wastewater collection and treatment system that will eliminate these discharges, particularly in the prohibition zone. To avoid a wasteful duplication of effort and funds, and to temporarily prohibit the Los Osos Community Service District from exercising those powers. The Wastewater Committee should either concentrate on outside the prohibition zone, or they should get out of the wastewater business altogether and disband. Thank you.
Director Sennett, do you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Bearden. I would support the notion that the Wastewater Committee should undertake the septic tank maintenance program, and we are looking into that. With regard to 2701, it should be clear that the district is not designing its own system, but rather collaborating with the county on the design of the county's system. And that should be very clear, that in every aspect, we are commenting on the county's project, the TAC advisory, and supporting them. We're not duplicating. We are contributing. And that's what I would say to that concern.
Yes, Mr. Denker.
Good evening, board and public. I am Stuart Denker, and I live in Baywood Park. I had intended to simply watch tonight's episode of the LLCSD on Channel 20, as I usually do. But this morning when I went out toward the street to gather in the papers, I picked up a copy of the Sun Bulletin, which was lying there in my drive. And there, to my surprise, was a very insightful viewpoint penned by Director Joe Sparks. Chief among the features of his viewpoint was that in recognition of the overwhelming vote of the community in favor of the 218 assessment and the recommendation that made by Joe that the CSD and its members should now cease or ease up on the rhetoric and clearly demonstrate a obvious willingness to engage the county and the RWQCB in a spirit of cooperation as opposed to confrontation. There's a lot of things that need to be done in this community, some of which fall under the aegis of the CSD. I wish you well. I hope we can focus on the positive things that are beginning to happen.
Thank you. My name is Jeannie Bauer. I live in Baywood Park on A Street. I own my own home. I live in the Prohibition Zone. I choose to live and work here. I'm dedicated to my community. I voted yes on the 218 vote. First, I'd like to thank Joe Sparks for his insightful, I didn't steal that, well-written and very thoughtful commentary in the recently published newspaper. I want to say, Mr. Sparks, that I agree with you wholeheartedly. I appreciate your mindset, and I most appreciate your work ethic. My comments tonight are directed to my loss of confidence with Director Julie Tacker and the appearance, to me, of a rather glaring, inappropriate conflict of interest on her part. I question her personal decisions, the misuse of her position on the board of directors, often to her own advantage, the misuse of her, I loathe her professional decisions, which have served as a detriment to the 15,000-plus citizens of Los Osos and what seems to be an inextricably tied to her personal relationship with developer Jeff Edwards. Therein lies her conflict of interest. Ms. Tacker first lied to me when she personally assured me that she had a viable sewer plan ready to hit the ground running only when she was voted in, only to contribute to halting the project and in the end offering that land for sale to her employer, the father of her child, and the developer, Jeff Edwards. Ms. Tacker has committed fraud again, most recently misusing her authority by directing the utility crews to property adjoining her home during community chipping days. Ms. Tacker presented the coordinator with a bogus list of contributing neighbors, calling their pile a neighborhood cleanup effort. The job was Mr. Edwards' paid job clearing the hillside. The pile far exceeded any limits of chipping day standards. Three truckloads of chips were directed off-site to Mr. Edwards' property. As an aside, Ms. Tacker, you can tell Mr. Edwards that his vile, foul language addressing the chipping crews who were conducting his business was a sad display of brutish behavior reflecting poorly on you as our public servant. Julie, I want you to know that I object to your misuse of public funds, funds paid and donated by the local community for a community effort. I ask you to step down. For the sake of propriety, as your situation reflects on all of us who live in Los Osos, we just want a chance to get on with it. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor, and I would like to ask that the general manager be approved to support the local groundwater assistance grant program, AB 303. Unfortunately, he was not in attendance yesterday at the Water Resources Advisory Committee meeting, and there were numerous pieces and bits and documents that would help us in our community with our groundwater basin. There was information that was disseminated, and I'm sure that if he were to ask Paavo Ogren or Courtney Howard from the County Public Works that he could get the documentation, and I would strongly suggest that he ask for it and that you as a board support him in asking for the funding for the assistance of a groundwater basin plan in our community. Thank you.
Don't start my time now. I'm sorry. I'm kind of.
Gail McPherson. I want to start out by just saying that I think it's inappropriate and out of order to allow a personal attack as well as personal complaints. I think that that's in your own decorum, please. To not allow when the person isn't here to respond. And I think that that should have been stopped and saved to a time when that person is there to respond. I also believe that Mr. Beardman has been misled to believe that because he has his own personal agenda about the sewer and the type of sewer that he wants, that we should ignore all the town hall meetings where the county has encouraged us to do as much outreach as possible in memos. He said, this is a quote, the citizens are the clients of the county, that they're building our project, and we have every right to have I don't know where he's coming from, but I have dozens of communications that say thank you very much for the work that we've done in that committee. So to silence that committee is to silence public outreach and citizens. I also want to say that this rhetoric that has been promoted by a minority member of this board saying that there needs to be policies about rhetoric. We have policies about putting out a viewpoint that does not represent the board but appears to. In fact, the oath that you've taken and within the bylaws doesn't allow you to do that. I want to clear up one thing about Pizzledip that's untrue. The water board took their actions before we did any of the things that you accuse us of here. I also wanted to say that John Seitz has made it clear that the people of this community are the CSD, and the CSD is the people of this community, and that's why we were all enforced upon. And I think that it's appropriate to continue to support what you have promised to do in your resolutions, and one board member shouldn't try to dissuade and have the court of public opinion weigh in. Also, all the way back, I have stacks and stacks, and if you go on the water on the CSD site, you will see mediation, cooperation, collaboration, many, many, many efforts. In fact, it ends with supporting a stand down with 2701 that says the opportunity to extend a hand of peace, act for the benefit of all of Los Osos, offers a tremendous opportunity for healing the battle-weary community. That came from Lisa Schicker in 2006. And Julie Tacker, as much as I don't approve of a lot of things, did not promise a project when she was elected. She was elected a year before and tried to dissuade the old board from moving forward and taking a loan and indebting this community. Get your facts right before you attack.
Thank you. Your time's up.
Thank you.
James T. Cash, Los Osos, also chairman of the Wastewater Committee. Since this topic's come up, I'll just make a quick point. Everything we've done in the Wastewater Committee was review of the county process and the county agenda items that they put together. The same thing the TAC was reviewing, we were reviewing and commenting on. We commented and forwarded those comments to the LSCSD board and let them decide if they wanted to forward those comments to the county. So we're not designing our own project. We're not working on our own project. We're not advocating our own project. We're commenting on what the county is doing as advisory to the CSD board. And the CSD board can do whatever they want with those comments. So I would take a little resentment at the fact saying we're working on something that's not allowed. I don't think 2701 said we're not allowed to review what the county is doing. You know, I could understand it if we were off trying to do an RFP for our own project, but we're not. We're just reviewing what the county is doing and commenting to the CSD board. We don't send our communications to the county. If the board decides to send them, they can. But that's what the work that we're doing. And as far as the spirit of let's get along and cooperate, I've asked at this microphone several times for Taxpayers Watch to drop the personal lawsuits against the members of the LCSD board, except for Joe Sparks. Remember out there that these people are being sued as individuals for actions that they took as the CSD board. And I think that's somewhat unprecedented. So if we all want to get along and cooperate, let's see about getting that lawsuit dropped. Thank you.
Good evening, President Cesania, Piper Riley, Prohibition Zone. I got involved in this when I received a letter from the Water Board and at the same time my ballot from the 218, which I found pretty daunting. Not knowing where to turn, I started watching you on Channel 20. I got so much information, I was really confused. This story is extremely complicated. It kept going on and on. The ballots were due the Thursday before. I was watching you. You went until 1 o'clock in the morning. I struggled over which way to go. I had to deliver my ballot because I couldn't send it in at that point, and that was the first time that I spoke at the Board of Supervisors meeting. I felt really downtrodden. I felt like my civil rights were completely violated, and when I got there, I found out that there were other people who felt the same way, and I'm glad that this lawsuit exists, and I'm glad that there are people like you, Mr. Cesania, President Cesania, that are standing up for us because we need that here in Los Osos, and that's why we elected Julie and Lisa and yourself. As a community, we have a global responsibility to build and grow using green technologies, and this means letting go of the past, letting go of a gravity system. This is being mandated going green by the federal, state, and local governments, and we should be a showpiece on how to do things right and not continue to go backwards using the old technologies. I've had the opportunity to be at several of Mr. Gibson's office hours, and he's made it pretty clear that the county has not yet accepted the project, and theoretically the CSD could get it back. I believe that disbanding the wastewater committee at this time is premature, and assuming that the TAC is an adequate representation of our community could also be considered a misnomer. We elected you to take us into a direction with new technologies and with projects out of town, and I believe that that can really be done, and that you can lead us in the green direction that we need to go. Finally, because there have been so many problems with the figures regarding the election with the 218, I think it would be really interesting if we got a third-party independent exit poll to see what really happened. Thank you for your time.
Good evening. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. When I'm through, I need an answer to the question, was the drinking water well drilled as assumed it was going to be in November? And if so, how did it turn out? And I'd like an answer to that before I go to the water board tomorrow. I did the public records request for the 06 water tests, and it was interesting to see that they had a comparison from 2004 to 2006 on that. The nitrates have been coming down if you omit the 52 milligram anomaly. The contaminated sample in the well of 7L6, 52 milligrams per liter. The average then was 11.4. It did test 12.2 in April of 06 and was down to 10.5 milligrams per liter in October of 06, and that's a 14% reduction in nitrates in those few months. So there was also a comparable sheet for the time that L6 had been monitored, and I don't know if you can see this, but this little mark there up here at the top, that's the anomaly or contaminated sample, and so you can see how far out of line it was. The water board, well, one other thing I'd like to say I wish Julie was here to hear what's going on. I hope she's watching at home. If it wasn't for Julie Tacker and her Move the Sewer effort, we would have Tri-W built right there now and paying $300 a month for sewer that would probably be contaminating all of our aquifers. So for people who've only been here 2 or 3 years, you want to look at what she's done for this community before you got here. The other thing is the water board's whole prosecution is based on that October test of 2.5 with the bad polluted contaminated samples in it. So that's part of the bad thing. They call a septic tank a sediment tank and ignore the fact that the septic system dilutes the solids by 80 to 90%, reduces solids by 80 to 90%. And thank you much.
And I'm sure we'll have an answer to your question about the water well later on. We'll hear from Mr. Milanis and iBank Progress. At that time, we'll get an answer to that question.
Thanks much. Maria Kelly, Los Osos. Good evening, board. I absolutely agree with the viewpoint written by Joe Sparks, and that's no big surprise. I've agreed with a lot of what Joe has done over the last year. Specifically, where I agree with him is regarding the litigation with Regional Water Quality Control Board and how it hinders our ability, more specifically, to seek grant fundings. They are a source of potential monies for this wastewater project, and as long as an agency is involved in litigation with them, then I think that it's going to hurt Los Osos. You know, the board voted 3-2 to support the 218. Why not take a vote to support disengaging from the PISLDIF lawsuit? Let PISLDIF do what it needs to do and the board do what it needs to do to represent the homeowners of this district. As long as the agency isn't involved, maybe the Regional Water Quality Control Board will be more amenable to any type of negotiations or discussion that needs to happen. The claim that Pizzle Diff represents all the property owners is absolutely unfounded. And everybody that received enforcement action. I know a couple who are thoroughly satisfied with their settlement agreement. If the claim is true that 45 were issued, why are there only 13 on the lawsuit or whatever? I haven't even specifically counted. But it's less than half are fighting the CDO issue. They don't need to be represented by the district. The district can represent itself. Pizzle Diff can take care of themselves. They should be separated. I said that when you hired Shauna Sullivan and you joined in the litigation. I disagreed with it then. I still disagree with it, and I think it's actually hurting the residents of this community. On top of that, litigation overruns beyond budget are paid for by the water rate payers of the district. That's 2,700 households. There's 2,700 households funding the litigation and overruns. That's only half of what, almost half of what's in the prohibition zone, and what, a quarter of the community? This isn't representative of the entire community. It's unfair. It's not openly discussed. It hasn't been properly portrayed to the community. And I disagree. How do you, if you want to continue sharing the cost, how do you propose to spread it out if nothing else within, you know, within the whole community? How do you propose to share the cost throughout the CSD? It just isn't making sense to me, and I would highly encourage you, for the sake of the community, for funding, for affordability, that you separate yourself from that lawsuit.
Director Schicker, you had some comments?
Just a quick comment. If I understand it correctly, the water department is not paying for the legal overruns. It's administration.
Director Sparks.
Technically, that's correct that the water department isn't providing funding per se, but with the revenues that come into this district, every overrun that occurs is going to come from the department, which is generating revenue, which is the water department, and it's the administrative allocation. And every time we go up $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in administrative allocation, where is it going to come from? It's going to come from the water department. If it were to come from the fire department, it would directly come off the fire department reserves. We are a water and fire, and the fire is fixed with a special assessment. And we raised, for the water customers, we raised rates 50%. And so those increased administrative expenses are, by and large, all going to come from water.
Well, and this is where I'm going to throw in the line of reasoning that without customers, if our customers are not allowed to discharge from their homes, we can't sell water and we're out of business as a water department. It's kind of a catch-22. Director Schicker, you had another comment?
That's just not true, Mr. Sparks. I'm sorry. There is a property tax allocation that comes through the district. It's not just water customers that pay the bill. I don't know where you're getting that from. So anyhow, we can talk about it later in budget committee, but let's work it out somewhere else.
Okay. Further public comment, and with room. Come on, we got a long ways to go tonight. So, Mr. Barrow, we're going to ask for some peace and harmony here. And if you can't provide that, yes, it would be best to take a walk. Public comment, Mr. Allaby.
Hey, Chris Allaby, Los Osos. My comment is going to be directed mostly towards the folks that voted yes on the 218. First, I don't remember Mr. Sparks' spirit of cooperation when our people were in the catbird seat. So it's kind of changes with how much power you have at hand. A vast majority of you folks out there voted to place your own homes in jeopardy. You had the CDO procedure as a small example of what you could expect. You placed everything you've worked for in the hands of people that are only in this wastewater project for the money and has little chance of success, according to every accredited engineer who's studied the project. I just don't see how you could do this. Please, those of you who voted yes on this monstrosity, see me on the street, come up to me. Or we have a website, pzldf.org, that you can go to. And please explain to me how you could put your homes and your lives in such jeopardy. That's all I've got.
Leon Golden. Now, it's possible that I didn't hear correctly what was said earlier about our water department. And so, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Our water department is an enterprise fund. It has to stand on its own 2 feet. What we may have done in the past may not be permissible or shouldn't have been done for the future, and that is to dip into the money that is generated out of the water fund. It's supposed to take care of itself. Now, it seems to me by this time, that's a given that everyone should accept. And if I heard incorrectly, again, correct me. But I don't think the water department is going to have its funds are available to take care of other business. We have loans that we've made that have to be repaid. Well, I think, the whole aspect of what it means to be an enterprise fund needs to be explained again to everybody.
Hi, Bo Cooper. A couple of items. I want to know from Mrs. Biggs, does Measure B still stop construction at Tri-W? I'd like to get a response to that, please. Also, the Brown Act allows people to say whatever they want. And that mean-spirited lady who blasted Julie Tack earlier on with all the lies and slanders, she has a right to do that and embarrass herself at the presentation, but it's a perfect right under the Brown Act, and it's to be respected as democracy. Also, Steve was saying that we've been collaborating with the county. I'm afraid that's true. We've been collaborators. We're working with the people who are trying to dispossess, not trying to dispossess, but the effect would be to dispossess 57% of the prohibition zone. And I'll just remind you that 28% of those people are low and very low income, 28% are middle income, 28% very low and low, 28, so the same amount. So even if you do get the grants for the low income, you still have a quarter of the people, 28%, who are middle income. Middle income, if you figure the 2% median household income stuff, anyway, you end up with $93 for people in the upper end of the middle, $93 what they can afford. We know the sewer, of course, is going to cost a lot more than that. So we don't want to collaborate with people who are going to end up dispossessing at least the middle class and almost, in my mind, almost surely the lower class, the lower income class as well. So if you work on that. The 2018 election, not a free election. Hard to get information from the county. Hard to get information from Diodati. Hard to get to double-check their numbers. They're telling us such and such is true. It's really hard. They've been stonewalling different people. I'm having a hard time getting it. It's a very slow process. I'll remind you about the process itself. Harvey Packard from the Water Board, I'll remind you, said on May 7th at the meeting, it would be a pretty difficult job to convince us that the project is moving forward if the benefits assessment is not approved. It was not a free vote. No matter what the thing was, there was a gun to our heads. There's a gun to our heads, and people are either voting yes because of fear, or they're not voting at all also because of fear. That's not a free election. It's maybe even, it's kind of Pakistani kind of, hey, we're under martial law, and we'll do this kind of stuff. I do have a copy of some of the results, and they're unclear in themselves. A quick example, I have one married couple. They split the votes, 25,000, half of that for each. The wife voted yes. The husband didn't vote, but it counted all 25,000 for yes. I have that. That's the fifth item down. I got this from the county clerk. Also lower down here, somebody's divided 10%, 50%, and 40%. The property is divided in three ways. So the 50% one should be almost 12,000. It came out to 13,500. There are mistakes just on the front page. I have concerns. Just the truth comes out of the rock. The rock's going to be a free paper. It's going to come to your door. Please take a look when it comes.
Thank you for your comments.
Good evening. My name is Al Barrow. I've been coming to the podium ever since we had one. And I'm really disappointed in Director Joe Sparks. And I'm also deeply offended by you. I find that your spin is doing a disservice to the community and to the board. We deliberately rearranged the way the county was going to pay us. Instead of paying directly to funds, they were going to pay a general amount. And I think Mrs. Schicker was addressing that. And I wish, Chuck, when he says things like that, you would correct him for us. That would really be helpful. I just can't sit and listen to lies go across the airways without being, and I appreciate Lisa's answer to that. There are other inferences that Joe Sparks makes, like you board members are being accused of calling the lawyers, law firms, and running up the bill. And I was told by Mrs. Biggs that that is just not true. You have to stop lying about things, Joe. You're a responsible director now. I'm very disappointed in that. There's no need for it. There's plenty of acrimony to go around. And on another note, you know, I didn't come here to be negative, and I think Mr. Shrimps is providing some leadership which will move us in a positive direction. And I'm sorry, but I can't say your name, Mr. I'll just have to call you Mr. John. But, you know, he's got some really good ideas and some good suggestions to help address issues, bring them to forum, bring them in a community way, and bring the government into an open, much more well-lit process. And this week was a very good week. There were three committee meetings, and there was a lot of work done. A lot of good ideas came out of it. And I'm hopeful that you'll be able to do better. I'm on the wastewater committee, and I'm going to do everything I can, Joe, to make this a green, sustainable, affordable sewer outside of town. And you guys took over before we got a chance to govern. You were back there telling the water board to fine us. You were back there with the water board, taxpayers' lawsuits. You did everything you could to get in the way of this board.
I agree with your comments about Mr. Schimpf. He has been a blessing in the month that he's been here. Mr. Sparks?
I agree. It's good to have a permanent general manager, and the protocol is for all the requests and all the contact with legal to go via the general manager and not direct. And to say that that hasn't occurred in the past is incorrect. And it's something that should be controlled. We have large legal expenses. And to say that it hasn't occurred is just incorrect. I know no director wants to do it out of, you know, we've had interim general manager situations. But now that we have a general manager, there is a protocol. And there actually was a protocol before then.
I don't think there's much to say, Al. We have an ad hoc litigation committee that can freely communicate with our attorneys. If another director picks up the phone, I don't necessarily have a hotline that tells me that's happening. But I don't think it's been abused. I don't think I've talked to you half a dozen times in the past year, maybe, other than here at meetings.
Thank you.
Further public comment tonight.
Hi, happy holidays. It's holiday season. Let's get back into it. Yeah. Okay, Lacey Cooper, Los Osos. I came across an old fable that I bet a lot of people are familiar with, but I thought it would be good to read it during this season. I'll just begin. A holy man was having a conversation with the Lord one day and said, "Lord, I would like to know what heaven and hell are like." The Lord led the holy man to two doors. He opened one of the doors, and the holy man looked in. In the middle of the room was a large round table. In the middle of the table was a large pot of stew, which smelled delicious and made the holy man's mouth water. The people sitting around the table were thin and sickly. They appeared to be famished. They were holding spoons with very long handles, and each found it possible to reach into the pot of stew and take a spoonful. But because the handle was longer than their arms, they could not get the spoons back into their mouths. The holy man shuddered at the sight of their misery and suffering. The Lord said, "You have seen hell." They went to the next room and opened the door. It was exactly the same as the first one. There was the large round table with the large pot of stew, which made the holy man's mouth water. The people were equipped with the same long-handled spoons, but here the people were well-nourished and plump, laughing and talking. The holy man said, "I don't understand." "It is simple," said the Lord. "It requires only one skill. You see, they have learned to feed each other, while the greedy think only of themselves." And I wanted to share that because I've always loved this story. But this Saturday, we're having a homeless shelter benefit, and so it seemed most appropriate to read it at this time. And I'm hoping people will come after the parade and feed each other with laughter and fun and buying presents here instead of a big department store and supporting the whole community, which is this community as well as the whole county, and supporting people less fortunate. And so I hope you'll come for that. And I guess that's all I want to say. It's Saturday, and it's right after the parade, which is, I think, about 10 or 10:30, and it lasts till 9. And so there's free food and music and everything else. So please come and join us all. Thank you.
It's a great time, and I, for one, promise not to use the word sewer that day in this building.
All right. That'd be good.
Jerry Walsh, Los Osos, and I thank you for saying that, Chuck. Saturday at our party in Los Osos, no S word is going to be spoken. We invite everyone from the county, you as directors, staff, our new manager, those in the audience, those at home, please come and join us in the holiday spirit of giving. There's no admission charge. It's free. Come. Marty Golden is making tons of cookies, as are other people. There's free hot chocolate, tea, hot cocoa. And other people have asked when the entertainment schedule is. At 3:45, Ann Tiber's folk dancers start the entertainment. But all day long, there's going to be live piano and organ playing. At 4:30, the Morro Bay High School Chamber Choir and the Los Osos Middle School Stage Choirs, under the direction of Colleen Wall, will be entertaining us. And then at 5 o'clock, Baywood Elementary Choir, under the direction of Gordon Snapp. And then at 5:30, our auctioneer, Gary Freiberg, will close the silent auction and start the live auction. And then around 6 o'clock, Johnny Cannon will lead us in singing Christmas carols. So come, just join your neighbors in spirit of Christmas. Thank you.
I think the amazing thing about this event, and I didn't realize this until John mentioned it the other day, no overhead. There's no overhead. This is a volunteer effort.
Now you took my comment.
Oh. I was trying to give you some praise.
Richard Margetson, before I talk about the event, I have to make one comment about, you know, any change in history, if you look back, is usually started by very few people. And what the Water Board did to this community is appalling. And anybody who goes to the meeting tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon, I ask anybody from Taxpayer Watch, ask the Water Board why Lori Okun either isn't participating or isn't in the room. And I think if you get an answer from them, that'll tell you a whole lot about what their history has been in this event. Back to the fundraiser. Santa will be here. Bring your cameras. Have your pictures taken with Santa. If you don't, if you forget your camera, we'll have some spare cameras here, some disposable for you to use and take home. As Chuck said, there's no overhead for this event. Everything in the room that you see already up, everything was donated. Everything at the event is donated. Every penny goes to the shelter. Supervisors, again, I'll mention, they're all up on the auction block on the silent auction for lunch with the supervisor. They all have an opening bid at this point. Something of interest to this community, we have septic pumping from Clay Septic. It's donated a septic pumping, so it'll be interesting to see how much that gets. The coin jugs, don't forget to bring your spare change. A lady actually came and dropped off a satchel today of coins, and when I say satchel, that's what it was. We dumped it into one of the jugs, and it filled about a quarter of one of the jugs already. The last thing I want to say, and I just want this out there for the community to just be aware of. All the signs around town, the one on the fence at the post office was donated, and then there were 20 signs purchased and donated for the event, and we put them at strategic points all over town, stop signs where we knew people would have to, you know, we only had 20, so we tried to take advantage of them. Four of them have ended up missing or were taken or whatever. You know, I can understand during all the past, move the sewer signs missing, moving forward signs missing, no on recall, yes on recall, whatever, you know, that. But to take a homeless shelter fundraiser sign from four different locations in the community, that was a concerted effort. So whoever assisted in that or perpetrated the thing, you know, I hate to say it this way, but please get some help. Thank you.
Maybe we should think that perhaps they had to use them to build a shelter for themselves. I don't know how else to think about that.
Martha Golden, on a slightly more positive note about the event on Saturday. Folks, bring your appetites this year. There will be hot dogs, hamburgers, veggie burgers, maybe other goodings, I don't know, but those for sure, cooking by Chris Albee and others. That will be for sale starting at 10 o'clock in the morning, so you can start with your brunch right there at 10 o'clock in the morning and go right on through till 9 o'clock at night. And there will be cookies and maybe other goodies for sale. Mrs. Claus's Cookie Emporium will be open all day, so come, bring your appetites, bring your family, bring your money, and come and enjoy and contribute to the homeless shelter. Thank you.
Dave Doodle, Los Osos. I guess I could comment on what these people over here are saying, or I could comment on, and all the reasons they gave why they didn't were discussed that day. I know that a videotape exists of that whole agenda item. Hopefully it'll go on the air, as well as tomorrow, courtesy of citizens of Los Osos, AGP is going to be videotaping tomorrow's meeting, and maybe we can butt those up together as and let them run consecutively. But there's 12 minutes and 55 seconds of conversation where the board emphasized we need to do this. Who lobbied? Is Bruce Gibson? Does he so much wants to keep the status quo as he did with the coastal permit? Did he want to keep the status quo of the heel or the hobnail boot of the Regional Water Quality Control Board upon the neck of the citizens of the Prohibition Zone? Does he like that idea? He seems to. So I believe that tomorrow is going to be an eye-opener, because I believe Dr. Press, who was most vocal and very concerned on the process and the issuing of the CDOs, which 13 are being contested, that he doesn't feel right about it. I have really want to hear what he has to say about being snubbed on this action, on this item, because I believe that he's coming around at least one out of that bunch to understanding that we've been getting the short end of the stick and we are being oppressed, regardless about what some people might say here or what other people may say back there. I think that the process, due process, civil rights, and environmental justice does play a huge part in this, and that stay tuned, folks. It ain't over yet. Thank you.
Mr. Shemp.
Just a minor correction. It will be televised tomorrow, televised live, but it's being paid for by half, 50% of it by your CSD, and the other half by the county. Pava Ogren today agreed to pay half of the cost of televising tomorrow, and the district is paying the other half.
Just an additional comment to that is actually we're all paying. It's our money. It's our project. We're paying for the services of the county to develop a project for us, and I just like to put my two cents in about that, that it's really our money. So.
Further public comment, general public comment for items not on the agenda later on. Okay. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board for some comments. Director Schicker.
I just have a few comments I'd like to make on some of the comments that were made this evening. Mainly focusing on the PISLDIF and our involvement with the CDOs / our own ACL action / basin plan. Because really for us, what it's always been about is the unfairness of the basin plan. That the basin plan it hasn't been updated. It's not based in current science. There's a lot of problems with it. The water board's aware of those. They do what's called a triennial review. Every 3 years, they're supposed to revise. The basin has a delineated boundary, and everybody should be involved in some way or another with keeping it clean. So for me, that's more what the lawsuit's about. And I do agree to an extent that sometimes a water board does make people angry, you know, and why are you suing us and all that. But it also is a tool to compel. You know, a lot of good changes have happened in this country because lawsuits were filed. And they don't have to be nasty to be a lawsuit. They can be cooperative and collaborative. It's just it's a method to compel when all else has failed. And if we hadn't tried so hard to get along, then maybe I would say it was frivolous. But I can tell you back from the recall day on, who was on the phone with Assemblyman Blakesley the next day? This board was on the phone asking, could you help us? Who was at the meeting for 10 days in his office? Me and Vice President Fouché. Who was at the water board hearings every day, 12 hours, 18 hours a day? This board, asking the water board, would you be heroes? Would you work with us, please? My exact quote, not in a million years would I think you wouldn't work with a duly elected board. All we ever wanted to do was to keep going with the project. What about Blakesley in January? Again, me going to the county, asking for help. All of these cooperative requests to get along, work together, and cooperate. So the lawsuit, again, for those reasons, I'm still in support of it because it's just a method to compel to come to the table, and it's a method of last resort. It always is. It's not the first option. It's an expensive option that none of us want to take on, and I just wanted you to know that from me. And wouldn't you want your state agency being, whether it be us or the State Water Board or Caltrans for where I work, wouldn't you want them to be fair to the people? Wouldn't you want them to respect your civil rights? Wouldn't you want them to respect the laws? And if they had a quasi-judicial process that wasn't necessarily fair, wouldn't you want that fixed? That's where I'm coming from. So, thank you.
Director Sinnott.
I'd like to chime in about what Lisa's talking about and ask Director Sparks tomorrow to the Water Board to compel them to do the same thing that he's asking this board to do, and that is to find some settlement or middle ground where they can end this action against the community that's causing the reaction of this board and others in the community to defend their property rights. So, you know, will you ask the Water Board to do the same thing that you're asking us to do? That's what I would like to see.
for my own perspective, I still think that it just puzzles me how an individual who has twice voted yes on an assessment to build a sewer can be hit with a cease and desist order by the water board. That just puzzles me that the failure of government is passed on to individual responsibility when the individual cannot comply by themselves. That is just, it bothers me. But I am all ears in terms of settlement. I'd love for this page to come out of our agendas, or at least get shrunk. And anyway, moving on.
Approving assessments to be part of the findings. I've made that very clear to the water board over and over again. You know, in terms of policy of the CSD, you know, I have an oath and obligation to express my opinions on policy if I think it's incorrect, if I think that it is creating problems for the homeowners that are assessing themselves. I'm allowed to disagree with policy, and I take that very seriously. Where I see that, you know, there are statements that are not conducive to negotiations, I will point that out. And so I think I'll leave it at that. But, you know, I do think I would like to see the enforcement changed. We have our own enforcement. So I think for this agency, it's not. I think there's more that enters into it than just the CDO and how we approach the water board. And, you know, in terms of, you know, my ability to, I've been stymied. When I first came in office, I had requested to be on ad hoc litigation committee, ad hoc regional board negotiating committee, and I was denied. So I've been all for negotiation, but I think as a representative of homeowners and with positions that are in concert with many homeowners, I think I'm the member of this board that came out very firmly identifying why it was important for us to approve the assessment, and I think the vote shows that that represents the vast majority of this district.
Thank you. Okay, at this time we'll move on to our public hearing items. The first item is the second reading and adoption of the ordinance amending Chapter 4, Title 4, of the Los Osos Community Services District Fire Code Ordinance by adopting the 2007 edition of the California Fire Code, including annual supplements, state and local amendments. Any comments from the board before we move on to public comment? Phil, did you have a presentation for us on this tonight? A few words?
Mr. President, I do have a quick one for you here.
Good.
As way of a brief history, the Emergency Services Committee reviewed this on October 16th, and again this week, this board gave it its first review on November 1st. During the last day or two, when we did it at the Emergency Services Committee on the 4th, we did come up with one minor typographical error, and that sheet is on your desk now. And so if you look at that, it's on page 11. There was a inadvertent, we inadvertently kept a section in there that we did not intend to. And so it was removed on the final copy. It is still in your package. I just wanted to point that out before you went on. Also, I invited Chief Swan in here with me tonight if there's any questions as well, as he was a major contributor with this document. That's all I had. Thank you.
To our own credit, and it'll serve the district well. The other thing, I had a question on the, well, first of all, there is a little typo on the, I thought I dog-eared the page, but on the fire roads being paved or with the all the weather surface. What page is that on? Oh, here it is, page 8. On page 8, the last box there, the last table, there is a I guess the notes, there's a word notes in the table. It needs to be moved. But aside from that, it seems like the all-weather surface, the non-skid, should be the paved, if I'm not mistaken. Asphalt paved? Or concrete paved for the steeper roads?
Yes, sir, Director Smith, that is correct. And we did move it one time. I think what happened with the notes in there when we transferred this over, we had this, we picked this up the last time. And when we transferred this over, this box, for some reason, that's why this notes is in there. We don't know where it came from. Well, and you are correct. We did change that to reverse those.
Okay, but the less than 12%, anything over 12%, should be noted as actually footnote one, that it should be paved with asphalt and concrete.
No, sir, that actually less than 12%, we allow the base type roads right to go in. And that's what we talked about, I believe, the last time that you caught that. And those were reversed, but it didn't come back when we, for some reason, when we transferred over, this box didn't work for some reason. And that's why the notes was there, and we didn't pick that up again.
So less than 12% should be footnote two.
That's correct.
Okay.
And you picked this out, I believe, this last time also, and I can't understand why this didn't happen, but we specifically went back. It just didn't come across, and that is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. With that, we can move on to public comment. Okay. Let's bring it back to the board. And any further discussion here? Okay. I move that we perform the second reading by title only and adopt the ordinance and direct staff to post notice of the ordinance as required by law. And the reading by title only, I assume that would be adoption of ordinance amending Chapter 4, Title 4, the Los Osos Community Services District Fire Code Ordinance by adopting the 2007 edition of the California Fire Code, including annual supplements, state and local amendments.
Read that, but in view of the fact that you've already read it into the record, that should be sufficient.
Twice. Okay.
In the subject line, last sentence. That's not a word. I just don't know what it means. It's
typo. I'm still not following you.
Supplements.
It's just supplements, right? Okay. Just checking.
Yes, it's supplements.
Okay, thanks. Maybe you're... Okay.
A roll call vote, please.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Schicker.
Yes.
Vice President Sparks.
Yes.
President Sasania.
Yes. Okay, general action item. Tonight we have before us consideration of the award of an I-Bank contract number 2, the 16th Street and El Moro Water Main Line Upgrade, 16th Street and Santa Maria Water Main Line Upgrade. Contract number 3 would be the 9th Street Water Main Line Upgrades, Los Olivos Water Main Line Upgrades. And George, you have presentation for us on this, I believe, tonight.
Yes, thank you. President Cecina, board, staff, and public in the audience and at home. Tonight, the board's considering the award of 2 additional contracts for waterline upgrades in the distribution system. Your packet will show that we did receive 6 pre-qualified bidders. All 6 bid on the projects. As you can see, contract 2, the range was from about $665,000 to $936,000. the contract three range was from $838 to as high as $736. Also attached in your package are the analysis and the tabulations. We have recommendations. Staff would like to support the recommendation by our project engineers, and that is to award contract number two to Decal Engineering in the amount of $665,357.80. We also are asking the board to approve the contract three to R. Baker in the amount of $388,838. Similarly, as we did on contract one, what staff would like to recommend is a 2.5% contingency be incorporated into both 2.5% incorporated into the both bid price. That would bring the total on contract two an additional $14,638. And again, this is just I have a little insurance there that if we do run into some unforeseen issue, we can kind of resolve it without coming back to the board.
I guess my only question would be, who else uses the 2.5% contingency factor? I mean, that's shaving pretty thin. And
in actuality, that was the $1,077,000 was our budget for the project. Fortunately, we've got a good bidding climate out there. We got some really good bids, and this just gives us a little bit of wiggle room here should we need it.
I have a question on your contract summary sheet, completed bid checklist. Are you concerned that R. Baker did not provide references or finish their employment and workman's comp stuff?
The R. Baker. Again, Steve Tanak and the Wallace Group actually did that bid that bid tabulation, and I'll defer to Steve for a better answer than I can give you. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Good evening, everybody. Steve Tanak with Wallace Group. I believe the question was in regards to R. Baker on responsiveness to some of the bid items. I'm sorry, the bid requirements. Yeah, and I believe that it was a references. And I'm sorry, what was the other one?
A workman's comp insurance and proof of unemployment insurance.
Okay.
Right here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are items that are required, and generally what we do, they're not inconsequential, but they're minor enough in nature that we would certainly follow up prior to execution of the contract. So, but we still felt their bid was responsive.
I had kind of a procedural question. When we look at their liability insurance, do we get named as additionally insured?
Yes, that's all included in the bid package. It's also part of the pre-qualification process that we go through. So all those items are looked at in the pre-qualification phase, also as part of the procurement requirements, and then prior to execution of the contract.
But we actually get a certificate of insurance from them.
Yes, you will be named as additional insured, and that's in the contract requirements, contract documents.
I can't see it. Any other questions from the board this time? Okay. Public comment on this item. Okay, excellent. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. I didn't really mean that excellent. You can comment anytime you want about anything you want.
I think when they're $600,000 under the engineer's estimate, you don't.
And we had six bids. That's good to see. That's a good bidding climate. really nice.
I move that we award one at a time, contract number two, to the responsive bidder, Decal Engineering.
Yeah. I'll second that.
Do we need the amount, or is that okay?
Do I need to do them separately?
Earlier.
Yeah, we're really close. Essentially, our well driller, they were awarded this bid last year, and so they've been kind of on standby till earlier this fall when we got them back on board. Steve has had correspondence with them. It looks like we're pretty close to sending them a contract. There's a couple technicalities we're working out, but he apparently has now caught up with some of the other work he had backlogged, and they're looking to really come in. I'm hoping in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Thank you. Okay, action item B. Excuse me, that was B. We're on to C. Discuss process and schedule for 2008 strategic planning session. I think we're going to hear from Mr. Shemp on this.
One of the things that the board stressed to me in the interview process, and one which I'm familiar with from previous engagements, is the need here for strategic planning. Perhaps you saw my comments in the interview in the paper, but I think it's time that we not talk this sewer, not talk tomorrow, but start talking 5 years, 10 years. And went back in your files, and the last time we did any strategic planning was several years ago. I would suggest that we set up some, and I don't have a preconceived notion, but I firmly believe that your committees, this is where the standing committees, I think, could really shine. And one of the reasons I suggested in a consent agenda item is that we extend their committee assignments for another two months to, instead of expiring the end of January, have them expire the end of March. The rationale there is to use the years, if you will, of experience on those committees to assist us in this process. I think we need to have public input through the committees and at district board meetings and get some idea of where and what this community would like to look like 10 years from now, 5 years from now, or even just 1 year from now. And I feel we have to be open to from everything from the ridiculous to the sublime. If somebody has an issue with potholes, we ought to put it down. Maybe we can't do anything about it, but you could translate that into strategic plan as work with the county to improve our road services. So I would encourage people to come forward with virtually anything, picking up trash to putting in a superhighway. I don't know, and I think we need to kind of get out a really long laundry list and then kind of winnow it down and take a serious look if that's what we want to work on. As I said before, I'm good at, I pride myself on the abilities to lead, but I need to know where you want to go. So I'm really hopeful that as a community, again, we can set aside whether we're on this side of the issue or that side of whatever issue and just be able to say, here's what we really want to look like, down the road. And I don't have any magic plans as to how to do that.
We could work with that and see what elements we would become involved with or might apply to us or where we could assist or elaborate on. Certainly, when we first came here, Julie Biggs gave us a lesson on districts and what their purpose is, and that was to provide the citizens with services that are possibly above and beyond what, they may want to put in a little bit more than nothing to get a higher level of service in some aspects or areas of their community. And I think that's what the district is about, to improve things. And if we know from the residents, of another enhanced service that we can provide, I think that's our obligation to provide it.
I'd just like to add that I'd also like to include the LAFCO process in our long-range planning. And I don't know if you noticed that on their agenda, they're talking about our sphere of influence. They're doing a minor small report this month, but in the next 6 months, they're going to reevaluate our sphere of influence. That's a LAFCO planning tool, but it does affect what we are and who we do. And so I'd like to add that to our ideas about how to plan for the strategic planning event. And if you haven't met Paul Hood yet, he's a wonderful man, and he's the director of that.
Yes, Director Sparks.
Yeah, I think the last one was in a May Saturday in 2005. I don't think that plan went as according. I don't think anyone could have planned from that time. I think particularly here we have some enterprises and funds, Vista de Oro, Bay Ridge, and the Fund 900, and Parks and Cabrillo. And in terms of these meetings, we rarely talk about them. And so it might be a good idea, since those are smaller subsections, that you make an effort to get feedback from the Vista de Oro. I don't know if they have a homeowners association, but you try to facilitate some feedback from Vista de Oro, from Bay Ridge, from Cabrillo, because those are their enterprises. And then I think it would be good to see with Parks and Rec, we've had the pool fund sitting for a number of years now, and see where we really do want to go with that. So I'd encourage that.
The LOCAC vision statement that Steve referred to earlier, I think that mainly dealt with Los Osos Valley Road, the center of town, what we want it to look like, the vision. And, of course, this effort's going to be much broader. We're talking about the entire service district. Do we want to attempt to be a road department someday? Look at curbs and gutters. We have new stormwater regulations coming. There's all kinds of things. So it's all good topic. And it would get our minds off sewer. Might be a good thing. Public comment on this item.
David Dugan, Los Osos. Monorail. We need a monorail. Shelbyville's got one. Why shouldn't we have a monorail? Water in this state. And this agency should try to lay claim to that water and try to get the funds that the state provides for taking that water and making it useful water. Instead of us trying to pipe state water here, let's take the water that we do have here and use it. Morro Bay is dumping that water in the ocean, and they're going to continue to dump that water into the ocean. And I think that if you look at public resource code, you will see that they have made findings, the state legislature made findings that it is the policy thereof, there are codes involved that is illegal to dump that water. You just can't dump it. You got to use it. And I think this entity, Los Osos CSD, because we're going to be hurting for water. Somebody said we have 15,000 plus people who are, well, we don't. Actually, we have less than 15,000. But I think the build out's 18,000. And that's, you know, the vision for the future is for build out. And we shouldn't let that 2.5 million gallons get away from us. And other than that, monorail. See you later.
I like the second idea better, and it may benefit Morro Bay, too, because when you upgrade to tertiary, that's considered a new water source in your community, and you have to deal with growth inducement issues if you have a new water source. It's things they can handle through planning and just show that they don't plan on growing as much as the water resources would allow, but they do have extra water then. And Mr. Golden.
Well, I think it's a great idea. Provided we don't go off onto 3,000 tangents and really never get anywhere. The idea behind doing strategic planning is to be concerned about the entire community. And although I think that Director Sparks is correct in asking for various parts of the community to give their input, I, on the other hand, am a little bit afraid of a continuation of what is basically a balkanization of this community. Now, sure, Cabrillo and the other two entities that Director Sparks mentioned may have unique and different needs than their neighbors. But I think in talking about a strategic plan for the community, we should be talking about the whole community. And that should be our principal concern. And I think that before you begin the process of strategic planning, there ought to be some real thought go into what you're trying to accomplish, who you're trying to reach. And don't misunderstand me. I don't mean to disenfranchise anybody in this situation. However, as you know, I've spoken on the issue of how the money gets divided here. And we carried over a system which the county set up, which we should, it may be, you know, I won't say it's good or bad.
Anything to put it in. We have the capability of purple pipe right there at the house so that you can reflush your toilet with reclaimed water. We have water banking. We have the greatest reservoir right here underneath us that you'll ever find anywhere. It don't get bird poop on it. It don't evaporate. And all we got to do is put zero discharge water into it, and we can use it with a sustainable system forever. Green, it don't get any greener than that. And all we're doing is a few people are fighting for the whole community's right, property value right, their own individual. All over this community, there's a small group of us, 7 or 8, 14, I don't know, somebody said less than half of the 46 people are fighting. The rest of them agreed to have a CDO, which means a cleanup and abatement. I mean, a CAO, a cleanup and abatement, and there's nothing to clean up and abate. I just showed you what the water tests prove. There are no the nitrates are decreasing. The generator plant isn't blowing soot anymore, and we have properly sealed test wells. We also have evidence that the county and the water board both knew that the test wells were polluted with surface runoff, which makes all of the data that they have fraudulent from illegal wells. And this last test in the sixth proves it, and there is no test in 2007. Why weren't they tested in 2007? Anyway, As far as who's fighting for this community, if we allowed them to put CDOs or CAOs on us, it would blanket the whole community. And if they do that to this community, they'll do it to every community up and down the state. And it's a big, heavy responsibility to fight for the property rights of the people in this community and of this whole state. So I thank you guys for kicking in what you could to our fund, and I don't appreciate the criticism from a small group of people that think you shouldn't. I hope to see a representation from this community at the Water Board tomorrow. Thank you much.
Richard Margetson. A little history. The last time we had a strategic planning session, the committees were shut down. So just keep that in mind. I hope that doesn't happen. I think one of the things you have to discuss, if you're looking at a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, is if the county builds this project, do we want it back? And I think that's a serious question that needs to be answered. I think we need to hear from every board member, because at some point it may be a reality to take it or leave it with the county. As it worked fine when it was distributed because of the wastewater project. I mean, it was more equal. But there is a higher burden now that falls on the water department that's not compensated for by the fact that the fire covers the whole community. I have said before, water and those in the water district get a double hit on administration. Or, and then look to, you know, I know there's issues that are going to come up down the road as far as if we do end up growing to build out population, whether we may need another substation fire department. I mean, fire department building, whatever. Those are all things that should come out in this session. There's many others, but you can't talk about them in 3 minutes. So thank you.
Additional public comment on strategic planning. Okay, we look forward to seeing this direction wherever we're going to be going. Director Schicker.
Just one quick question. Mr. Shemp, were you seeing, I mean, your report says first agenda is coming back to the board with some ideas in draft form and then going to committees first before the long Saturday. So when were you suggesting the Saturday session be? 6 months from now? 4 months from now?
Well, hopefully before the committees leave. So, no, I'm hoping that we can get something down before the end of February.
Oh, okay. So we should set that Saturday today.
I'm sorry?
We should probably set that Saturday meeting today, approximately.
No, a little premature, but hopefully by mid-January we can set it up, if that's what you know. I threw it out there as an idea. Not too many people want to give up a whole day Saturday, but on the other hand, it might be the way to really get your teeth into something. So those are all just, it was a straw man, in a sense. So, but I'm encouraged by the comments from the board and from the citizens, and we'll move ahead and get you something a little more substantive at the next meeting.
I'm thrilled about doing this and putting our energies here. I think it's fantastic. Thank you.
I thought you were either anxious to get going or else you had a heavy vacation schedule in February. I know George wants a new water storage tank. That's part of his strategic planning. Okay,
George
let's
wants
take
a lot of things.
Director Sparks.
Again, on the scheduling for this, it's recommended that the board schedule a special meeting. So at this stage, we're not scheduling one. So you're saying come back, think about it over the holidays. And all right. I know for me, February is not a great month, but and I'd like to see us schedule it sooner rather than later.
Perhaps if any of us have conflicts for February, we should get those dates to Mr. Shemp so he can be aware of those and be working around them. Let's take a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back with administrative and committee reports. Okay, welcome back. And we are on committee reports. Okay, administrative and committee reports. An oral administrative report from our general manager.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've been continuing with the activities of trying to find out what there is to know about this town. It's so easy because it's all simple. Everything here is.
Well, everyone has an opinion that they want to share.
There's no question about that. I wanted to mention the reason I was not at the RAC yesterday, because it was on my list to be, but I was meeting with the water board, and that was very productive. Spent a couple hours with them, along with Chuck. Today was the water purveyors group, so I'm on my second round of meetings. I can't believe a month has gone by, but it has. That was the first meeting I went to when I got here, and now it's my second one. As I mentioned before, I'm really pleased with the progress we're making in the water purveyors group. Today we worked on a confidential memorandum. John Seitz helped draft that. And I think that'll help Golden State in their comfort zone to realize that through this confidential memorandum, we'll be able to exempt some items from public records searches so that they can share perhaps some of the data that's, because they're a for-profit enterprise, they're not used to sharing a lot of their data. Anyway, that's moving along well. Also, since the last time we met, I've attended a TAC and found that very interesting. And also a LOCAC meeting, I found that extremely interesting. And since the last time and most of this week, I've met in the following committees with the Environmental Committee, the Wastewater Committee, the Finance Committee, and the Emergency Services Committee. I think I'm missing the Water Ops Committee. I haven't been there yet. I've also been meeting with a lot of citizens. A lot of citizens feel free to call up and make appointments, and that's great. As time allows, I enjoy meeting with them. And, yes, I've met with people on both sides of the issue, including an hour or so with Gordon Hensley last week. Also took the head when the chief got back from fighting fires, he gave me a complete rundown on the local fire department, South Bay, and also took me into the San Luis Obispo office where I met the chief and all the folks in there. So I've been fairly busy, as I said before, out meeting and greeting and learning a lot and asking a lot of questions. Today I spent several hours with Paavo Hogren, and that was also extremely informative. We immediately hit it off, and I think we have a mutual respect. I hit him within 5 minutes of shaking his hands with about paying up for tonight, or for tomorrow, the $350. He agreed to that, but he hit me right back again with another item. He's no slouch. There's no question about it. But we had a good session, and looking forward to spending more time and effort in that direction. I have to report that since the last time we met, I've been back east, and I came back. So, and my wife made me promise that I wouldn't do anything drastic until after she got here, because she at least wanted a chance to enjoy the California weather, because she's got 10 inches of snow and 15 degrees when I talked to her earlier tonight. Again, it's a pleasure to be
running and jumped in because there are a lot of people to meet to to keep this thing running. Okay, and now we have a report from Chief Fenaris. Director Sparks.
Mr. Schimpf, quick question. The county was also early in June going to provide data that they had done as part of the fine screening report in terms of and share with the purveyors as well. Was that discussed with Paavo?
It has not come up yet. I'll make a note, make sure it does.
Okay, and now we'll receive that report from the fire department.
Mr. President, members of the board, appreciate the opportunity to come up here again. First of all, I'd like to ask, is there any questions about my report? It's in there. I'm not going to go through it if you don't have any. Okay. I did bring some handout literature, and it's been up at the counter there for folks who are here tonight. Ms. Vega is going to take it down to the front office, so it will be in the offices the next couple of weeks there. But I would like to at least point it out. It's good information. There's some safety message for the holiday time. It has to do with candles, electrical stuff, the holiday lights, trees and stuff in the house. Good information. We'd like to get as much out there as possible. There is something in there on winter fires. Basically, it's the homes change during the winter. They're more sealed up. People use their heaters more, fireplaces. It tells how to properly dispose of hot ashes, when and how to clean your chimneys and get your flues inspected and your screens inspected. I'd like to point out we had a flue fire the other day. Did cause a fire on the roof, and it was directly related to a improperly installed screen on the roof, and simple maintenance would have stopped that. So this is going to be up there at the front office as well. And then we are in Operation Santa Claus full swing. That's something that this board and the community has supported us over the years, even prior to CAL FIRE coming into the community. If you remember, we have a box at all of our fire stations. There's a press release up there talking about it. And these toys are given to child in welfare protection, and not only for the holidays but through birthdays and other special occasions throughout the year. So several thousand kids have been helped over the last couple of years, and just like to thank the community for continuing to help us and to bring toys by. Is there any other questions I can answer for you?
I'd just like to say I'm glad you're back safely from Southern California fires. Okay. That's got to be a harrowing experience every time you visit one of those wildfires.
Okay. If you don't mind, I was also asked to give the ESC report since Director Tacker and the Chairman
Thank
Miller
you.
Is not around. So I can do that right now if you'd like.
Yes, yes.
Okay. We did meet a couple days ago. We had three topics on our agenda. One was the introduction of Mr. Schimpf, which went very well. We reviewed the ordinance, as I spoke to earlier, and we took our first look at the mid-year budget adjustments, which is early, but they wanted to look at it in December so they can give you a good, accurate review for January when you start that process. Our next meeting will be in January on January 15th at 5 o'clock at the fire station. The public is always welcome to show up. And if there isn't...
Karen has helped us before, and so I'd kind of be lost without their help, so I sure appreciate all the hard work they do. We had Mr. Schimpf attend our meeting here, the last meeting we had a couple nights ago, and it was a pleasure having him there. His input was invaluable from his experience and working in other areas, and so we appreciated having him come, and hope he'll come back. With regard to our meeting on November 20th, we were tasked by President Cesena on discussing the LOCSD Board of Directors' consideration of Resolution 2007-26 to support mitigation of affordability concerns regarding the Los Osos wastewater project. The committee members talked with Visiting Director Joe Sparks, had questions about the resolution since he wrote a draft of it. The committee members gave their version of what they thought the resolution should say and do. And the committee also felt that affordability must remain prominent in the LOCSD's discussions with all agencies, but that we felt that the resolution as it was drafted was not the proper method at the time. So the following resolution was made by Gail McPherson and seconded by Al Barrow that Resolution 2007-26 should be withdrawn for future consideration, and that passed unanimously. General Manager Schimpf provided a letter dated November 9, 2007, a memo from the county to the State Water Resources Control Board. He'd just gotten it. Regarding the Proposition Funds grant application, and following motion was made by myself and seconded by Al Barrow that the Wastewater Advisory Committee supports having the LOCSD writing a short letter to the county supporting their efforts addressing all aspects of affordability as demonstrated by their November 9, 2007 to the letter to the State Water Resources Control Board. And that motion also passed unanimously. In other discussions, Mr. Barrow mentioned the 2004 Fugro Geotechnical Report and the project impacts due to the high groundwater. And Mr. Barrow requested that be placed on a future Wastewater Advisory Committee agenda. Gail McPherson mentioned that the LCSD CSD board liaison should provide more direction on what the full LLC board of directors wants the Wastewater Advisory Committee to study. And then I mentioned that we'll no longer be forwarding anything to the board of directors with the report from the Wastewater Advisory Committee unless the materials have been provided first to the Wastewater Advisory Committee for review at the meeting. And that had become a problem with people not bringing stuff to the meeting but want it submitted with the report. And I just said, we're not going to do that anymore. If you want it submitted with the report, bring it to the meeting and let us take a look at it. The report that I'll be providing in January from our meeting Tuesday night was we put together a list of topics that we felt were important items that that you as a board of directors may want to consider having us look at in the upcoming year, and we'll be providing that report to you for your January meeting. And I just a moment of editorial comment here with regard to the Wastewater Advisory Committee to the Board of Directors and by way of that to the county and helping take a look at what they're doing and making sure that the information is correct and accurate as possible. And with that, I conclude my report.
Thank you for all your work. Water Ops Committee. John Chimp.
I just want to comment that Pavo and Bruce Gibson were successful in that letter that went in on the 9th. And as was reported yesterday, the project is now back on the list for grant funding. So, and Pavo was quite pleased with being able to do that. I think that that's, they got, how can I say this? There are some mid-level staffers who quite honestly had it in for Los Osos, and they were able to go, he was able to go above that and get the ear of the director of the agency, and at some risk to Pavo, but he was able to demonstrate quite succinctly that they had looked at things in the wrong direction, and so I take that again as a positive sign that things are, you know, if we keep trying to work together, we're going to get there. And I understand the attitude that we got to always keep an eye out, but that's true with any agency. But nevertheless, it's better to have an eye out than a stick out. So, thank you.
Water Ops Committee report.
Last Water Ops was last month on the 14th, and I guess the next one's going to be postponed till January 8th or 9th.
Oh, that's right. Right. That's right. I'd forgotten that they didn't meet this month. Okay, thank you. Finance Committee.
My goodness me, it's only 10 o'clock. Surprise. All right, first of all, the next Financial Advisory Committee meeting will take place on Tuesday, January 8th, 2008, at the CSD office. So that's, for those of you who are still awake and watching this program, do come down. It's always fascinating. The first thing we did as a committee at our meeting on Monday was to meet the new general manager and to exchange our curriculum vitae's and sort of let him know who the various players were and what they did. It was fascinating and amusing also. then we dealt with two issues which you have on your agenda under the consent calendar, which is item 5 on the consent calendar. And I'll just point out that in our discussion, it was discerned that there was an error in. You should know also that there's a revision to that, which was passed out. I'm sure you've got them. And the way you tell the difference is very simple. On the front page, page 1, it says date 12/5/07, 454.46. That's, 2.46. That's really getting it down to the seconds, is when this particular piece of paper was printed. And this is the revision. It's stapled to the other summaries for each of the months. It is the committee's recommendation to you that you examine these financial reports, that you follow staff's recommendation and approve them as they have been amended by the papers I've just referred to, because there is an error in the main packet. The other thing that we discussed, which was part of this whole thing, is the whole question of the high legal fees. And I won't go into all of it other than to say that some suggestions were made as to how to perhaps handle that.
both by talking to the lawyers and making sure that those lawyers who seem to procrastinate about getting their bills in on time be instructed that that is part of their arrangement with us, and they should be gotten in by the 15th of the month following the month in which services were rendered. And I'll have a comment afterwards about to get back to that for a minute. I raise this not to start a debate as to whether or not each one of you, and including the absent person, has been individually calling the lawyers, asking questions, and running and causing the legal fee, legal bills to go up. It really, that is a discussion. If it did go on, it shouldn't go on, and there's no point in getting into a big debate as to whether it did or didn't happen. The point is that the Financial Advisory Committee advises you to follow the policy which should be in your bylaws, that one deals with your attorney through the general manager. You have a problem, you have a question. That's for you as a director to call the general manager, and then it's up to him, if he is a him, right? Or her. I want to make sure I'm not stepping on getting him in trouble. Anyway, to ask the question of the lawyer, because a resolution which was before you, a revision which was of that resolution, which was written by a member of our committee, Gordon Taylor, and also a revision of that, which was authored by the chair of the Environmental Committee, someone with whom I have a sometime relationship of many years. In any case, it was our recommendation that Gordon and Martha Golden get together and work further on this project, which seems to be going towards a letter, not a resolution. It's my understanding that the Environmental Committee, Marty went home, she will not be reporting this, but that they have came to the similar conclusion that Gordon and Marty should work on this, and our committee would discuss it again at our next meeting, and then at second meeting in January, you would have that in front of you and take whatever steps you consider to be necessary. I think that's all that I have to report. Other than the fact that I just want to share with you the fact that I have some experience in legal billing and in fees, not only as a practicing attorney, but I sat on the discipline committee of the State Bar of California when I was a member of the Board of Governors of the State Bar of California. And it is essential, it is required, that when the lawyer submits a bill, that bill has to be understandable. And I think you've got to keep that in mind. If it's not understandable, it don't get paid. As a matter of fact, there are actually people who are in the business of vetting attorneys' bills, of looking at them not only for their what they communicate so that people understand what they're paying for, but looking to see whether or not they're within the realm of what should have been charged for doing the job that is that was claimed to have been done. Now, I know that that's tough on some lawyers, but if you do the job and you do a good job and you are careful in preparing your bill so that it does communicate to the client what you've done, then you don't have any problems, unless the client doesn't have the money to pay, which is a whole other issue. But anyway, if I'll answer any questions. Just ask me. If I don't know, I'll...
And the Environmental Committee report. We had emergency services earlier, ad hoc committees, county liaison. We have not met with Pavo in a while. I talked to him on the phone every couple of days. I think most of that duty is going to be handed over to Mr. Schimpf now. And occasionally would like to sit in, but I think that's the primary contact now. Pavel may even feel a little freer to talk to you. I don't know, but yes.
Today we also broached this affordability issue in our discussions, and he's excited about the district assisting in grant opportunities because he feels that we have a real role there. Not so much grants to build the plant, but grants to help our people. And I think, as I said, he sees a real role, so do I. That's something we can get our teeth into.
Every grant application I've ever looked at scored you higher if you had a cooperative application, if there were multiple agencies, multiple parties involved, and you know, sometimes even as far as public-private agencies and that kind of thing getting together. But certainly that's the case. Regional Water Quality Control Board negotiation team, Mr. Schimpf and I met with Harvey Packard, Roger Briggs, and Matt Thompson yesterday, I guess that was. Mr. Briggs and Mr. Thompson for a short time, and Harvey for probably an hour and a half. I think it was a good history lesson, a good productive hour and a half with Harvey. You know, there wasn't any new ground covered, but there was a whole lot of catching up and information and a chance to meet the water board for Mr. Schimpf. And I hope that they will feel free to contact you whenever they feel like they have questions or things they need to pass on. Because I know at one time that relationship had gotten rather sticky. In fact, Harvey more or less said he didn't want to be meeting with us. So I hope that changes.
And I was invited to the opening of the session tomorrow, so I'll be making two trips to the water board tomorrow, one early in the morning and then one later in the afternoon.
County Water Resources Advisory Committee, they met yesterday, did you say?
Yes, we met yesterday, and the district presented a history and a description of our function in this area with the assistance from our utilities manager, George Milanis, and the office assistant, Margaret Faulkner. And it was a good presentation. Everybody appreciated it, and there were quite a few questions. So that went well. To elaborate a little bit more about Pavo's success in getting us recognized in the round two of the Prop 50 grant. He related a story that Noel King and Pavo and Sukum to offset the burden that they would have to suffer. So it was a great inroad. It changed the whole perception, the whole tone of the grant application. And reading it in that light, it competed favorably, and we got invited back. It did rate successfully, so we're in the ballgame again. This type of outreach is something I hope we can really count on and rely on in the future to further the success of the district and the county in moving forward. And I think it was a really, really good news. So next meeting is, I think, let's see, it will be the first Wednesday of the month. But I think it's been, I think they delayed it. I forgot the date, excuse me. Ninth? Yeah, that's what I have. But there was another, yeah. Pardon? Okay, January 9th it is. Let's see, I guess it was also announced that the county is going to act on the resources management study and recommendations. And I guess, do you remember the board meeting date? Is it the 15th? January 15th? Right. Another interesting aspect, something that the Board of Supervisors will consider on December 18th is the growth management element of the county, for the county. I think I forgot the agency that's responsible for allocating requirements for growth, and it's kind of a fact of life that counties have to afford for growth in residences for population, and how they allocate that requirement to different cities and unincorporated areas is. It's quite a difficult thing to manage, so that should be interesting. And so I think that's about it.
Thank you. That does sound very difficult, allocating the growth expected. I mean, how do you tell people they have to move to Riverside?
Well,
have scheduled yet. That can always change. But at 7 o'clock, we'll be meeting with LOCAC here for our joint session, and we will be talking about water conservation ordinances. The county has a proposed water conservation ordinance that's going to be out, and I believe Mr. Caruso will be here to present that. I think that's who handles that. Anyway, somebody from the county will be here to present that. That's what I understand. TAC fine screening, water reuse, and disposal analysis. Anything there?
May I speak about the LOCAC?
Oh, yes.
LOCAC did meet this month. Last month, and I don't know why the tape is late showing. I'd rather not give a report on it because I'm not Keith and because... we should be seeing all of that, but I would like to mention a few things, including Judy Vick's committee from LOCAC. Mike Bertan was there. There was a discussion of the corridor. That area has had twice as many traffic accidents as is expected for a comparable area elsewhere that has grant fund application issues there. There's an immense amount of data about accidents there. It just happens to be the case. And lighting may very well be an issue. And so I'd like people to participate, members of the public do participate. Earlier tonight, there was some discussion of the role of the CSD in the traffic. I think both working together is the best way to go at it, but I think every so often this gets mentioned and it's sort of left out that there are activities going on. So I think we should, as we are going to be doing on the 13th, be promoting the cross-reactivity and the limited domains, at least for LOCAC, since we're only an advisory committee. In addition to that, there was Mike Bertin also told me that the county is taking a very good look at the drainage issues, specifically above Bush. And that would conclude my report. I'd like to speak again in public. Thanks.
Thank you. Director Sparks.
We haven't had a meeting since the last report, but I would say that there's a county grant application for $250,000 that would go to offset costs on the shared costs for the water purveyors. That estimate from our last meeting was $500,000. That would be over the next two fiscal years, approximately $250,000 this fiscal year and $250,000 the next. And that's for all the water purveyors. So the CSD's portion would be $200,000 over the 2 years and expected right now $100,000 in this year. And if we are successful with the grant, that cost would be cut in half. So hopefully we'll be successful in getting that. I think there's 10 tasks identified that need to be.
Just try and get some direction before we revamp those committees. So at this time, we'll take public comment on the consent calendar and any of the reports that you've heard.
I did want to pull items 5 and 7.
5 and 7. Did you want to pull those for a separate vote or for discussion?
For discussion.
For discussion. Okay. Okay, so consent calendar items 4 and 6 and any of the committee reports.
Okay. Dave Dugan, Los Osos. As I said before, I actually said the road to hell is paved with good intentions to Mr. Sparks on his resolution. I should say the road to perdition probably is more like it is paved with good intentions, that it seems that the resolution is being rejected by the committees for all the obvious reasons. It was a good idea, but I think the committee, I think, was a really bad approach. There was a San Luis Obispo County Supervisors meeting where I believe Pavo and Mr. Sparks were supposed to get together to talk about the affordability issue as well. Something came up. I remember there was a meeting where your name was mentioned because you gave a 3-minute thing on just that. And there was the question, well, why is he being chosen out of everybody else to work with Pavo Ogren on this? And maybe this is the outcome of that. I'm not sure. I'll have to find that tape and get you the actual what was going on there. But I also would like to say on the minutes themselves, you don't have to put the Shelbyville and Monorail thing in there. But on the minutes, if somebody has says that thinks that there's something wrong with the minutes or something they say, they should bring their quote to the staff and say, this is what I said, and not require the staff to go through the minutes and spend a half an hour trying to decipher what this person meant. I don't want to see the minutes to change to be less and more condensed. I like them the way they are. They're better than the TAC minutes, I'll tell you that. So I would ask staff not to put less of what people say in the minutes. It's pretty condensed as it is, to leave that alone. And again, going back to water, just keep in mind what I said earlier about water and how there is over 2 million gallons available. And also, too, at the LOCAP meeting, maybe you should have a small discussion on what you guys talked about, the future vision of what Los Osos is going to be. You may want to bring that up at the joint LOCAP meeting, too, as part of the agenda. It doesn't have to be something that has to be discussed in huge detail, but just get together with them. But I know it's all about water that day, and so I think we should probably keep that as close to that as possible, which
was an issue I brought up. And other than that, I'm going to shut up so you guys can get ready to go home.
Good evening, Glenn Taylor again. Mr.
I should have mentioned that earlier. It's just a meet and greet, but they have their introductions first thing in the morning, and Harvey suggested it would be a good time to officially meet the board. So it's more than, it's just, that's all it really is. No. But at least it's a way to get the door open.
It was Mr. Packard's suggestion that the water board would be more receptive to the new general manager outside of the CDO framework that would be present in the afternoon. If you just come at general public comment and say hello, it'll be a little less tense.
Well, there's going to be some very interesting items on the agenda. Perhaps he'd be interested in waiting around for a few of them.
I think that was the second meeting. Okay. There'll be lots of fun tomorrow. Great way to celebrate Pearl Harbor Day. Okay, any other additional public comment on consent calendar items or consent calendar items 4 and 6 or the committee reports?
Well, vaguely about the committee reports. There's a little new little Los Olson in town. And he may not know it, but he experienced his first rain tonight. Looking to the future, I think this article that was meant to say let's go forward seems to have stirred a little more of the old stuff up. And so there are so many distractions that you guys deal with, and I think the manager, this town is not going to be able to move forward unless we have a sewer that brings water back into the community. That's all there is to it. Tri-W can't do that. And it's really that simple, and it's not in the interest of the water board to need a Tri-W sewer just because they said it was the best thing since sliced bread a while back. The bottom line is that location has so many problems with it. The water board has to be able to find its way back to through empirical science and allow an engineering solution that brings water back into this basin. It's the only thing. And I don't think Tri-W is it, and I think your relationships with the water board should be based on that practicality, and eventually they'll see it that way. But as long as there was opposition, then everybody's forced into the old positions. But the bottom line is this town can only get a better sewer than what was previously proposed. So Tri-W isn't it, and moving forward, the future of our town, what it will look like, is something that citizens should get involved with. There's going to be very limited build-out. It's limited. Even though there's 15,000 now, there's 18,400 slated as sewer recipients, areas outside the prohibition zone we want to go into that equation. The more people can interact with LOCAC,
Richard Margetson, two corrections in the minutes, and I think whoever took the minutes, I actually would like to thank them. Gives me another opportunity to plug the event. But the first one is Jerry Walsh, is her first name spelled wrong. It's J-E-R-R-I. And then under my comment, it says, Mr. Margetson suggested the public buy toys at the fundraiser and donate to the fire station's Toys for Tots. It's actually, I said, Operation Santa Claus for the fire department. Toys for Tots is the Marines. So if that could be corrected. Plus, a lot of people last year actually came, bought toys here, and then took them up to the fire station or over to the Toys for Tots barrels. It's interesting that Mr. Shemp said that there was mid-level staff resistance on the grant application, like this community hasn't run into mid-level staff opposition to Los Osos in the past. It's good to see that Pablo took a stand and got to the higher-ups. And I think because Joe pulled the items, I'm not going to comment on something I think is coming up in the next item, but my last comment would be I find it interesting that Mr. Shemp recognized that he had had a meeting with Gordon Hensley, specifically using him as the example of somebody he had met with, and said he had met for an hour. I'm a little surprised that it took Gordon an hour to confess his sins as a former director in this district. And I'm curious what the conversation was about and if any of it had to do with, you know, why we don't have a water conservation program, the past water rate structure, why he was for the first fire tax, why he was against the other one, why he voted for starting the Tri-W project. I don't think that was part of the conversation. I think it was, let's look to the future and do whatever we can to get Tri-W started. And at one of the committee meetings recently, I think it was environmental, I know his stance has been, you know, he wants to move forward and, you know, kind of forget the past. And I told him that about the move the sewer photo that was taken at the community center. And I told him I'd provide him one. So as an early Christmas present, this is the past he needs to keep in mind, because if it ever ends up at Tri-W or it looks like it's going that direction, this will be the future. Thank you.
Okay, any further public comment on consent calendar items 4 or 6? With that, we'll bring it back to the board, and I will make a motion that we approve consent calendar items 4 and 6.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries.
Concerns, we have September and October statements, and we have bills not submitted for those months, and now we're here in December. And again, when we get legal bills, that they are clear, that the general manager and board has the information referred to as part of the district record, and that's why I have concern with these financial statements, and I'll leave it at that for now.
The concern, then, I take it, isn't with the accuracy of the statements, is with the size of the legal bills.
You know, there's some I've seen where I've had concern with accuracy, and actually in asking questions have found that there's been inaccuracies. And in asking for questions on legal bills and then getting back resubmittals of information that I had, or, again, where there's items referred to that refer to written documentation that the general manager or the district has that. For example, if we have something issue that, say, Burke Williams Lawrence is dealing with, and they write a memo on it, we see that. We see those letters, those correspondence, and I think we should see that for all legal bills that we're paying for. And that, you know, that they we get timely legal bills. I remember in before 2006, right when the into the budget of 2006, and this is right preceding the bankruptcy, and sorry to say this, Julie, but we got a stack of that June. If you look at the general ledger, like through March, April, May, June, and then all of a sudden there were entries right there at the end of June. And
President Cecina, on that, our bills have always been submitted monthly by the 15th of the month. If you didn't receive them, that wasn't because we didn't send them.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that. It's just that in the general ledger, if you go back then, there's this absence of entries into
the
general ledger.
We were not paid during that time.
Right. And they should be paid timely, too.
Well, I mean, it would have been nice, but during that time period, if you're talking about 2006,
yeah,
we were billing and the district didn't have the funds and we were not paid, and that's really the basis of our claim in the bankruptcy for approximately $500,000 that we were never paid.
Right, and it works both ways. If you have the timely invoice, then you get paid right away. Thank you, Ms. Bix.
The bills were timely.
Right.
The district had no funds.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Schimpf.
Just for the information of the board, I have an appointment with the law firm that Director Sparks is referring to and a letter that I'll be hand-carrying and talking to them about those problems because they are genuine and we are a public agency and we can't afford to be operating the way that they're making us operate. So that'll either be corrected or we'll not pay them. And it's not.
Like I said, it's good to have you around. Any public comment on consent calendar item number 5, the financial statements?
The committee meeting. It was disclosed that a firm.
I'm sorry, what?
It was disclosed that there was a firm, not that firm, at the committee meeting. You said, was it disclosed at the committee meeting that was that firm?
Oh.
No, it was incorrect. It was disclosed that was a firm.
That a firm, right.
But now, August is correct.
But it was August, and it is Shauna Sullivan's firm. Now we have a general manager, a full-time general manager. I think policy should be that if bills aren't in by a certain time each month, maybe you don't get paid, or if they lapse a long period of time, because certain members of this community have had a problem with the agreement with Shauna Sullivan and what's appropriate for the district to pay and what's not appropriate for the district to pay and what percentage of what part of the bills is appropriate. But any firm that's doing business should get their bills in on time, especially to a district that has financial problems. I'll leave it at that at this point.
Additional public comment on consent calendar item number 5.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos, and towards the Shauna Sullivan issue in itself, I remember standing up here saying that it's going to be a thorn in your side continuously if you go through with that resolution and mixing PISLDIF with the LOCSD. As well, and being able to divide who's paying what, who's getting what, and I've heard it from all sides. People don't understand how that's being done. Also, too, there's probably a perception that the Julie Biggs was part of litigation against the CSD and then was paid X amount of dollars and attorney fees and then became the CSD lawyer. I think that's part of it, too. What I'm trying to portray here was just indicated to me, and I'm going to steal his line at trying to carve through this maze of ever-folding legal that you're going to run into, that you're going to cut through, and you're going to hit multiple layers. How do you explain it to people out there? Where the money is going to, where it's come from, who got paid what and why they should have been paid that. And I empathize with Joe, and he is speaking out whereas there is a large segment of this community that is questioning the legal fees, though I do know that the CSD needs to defend itself, and justly so, but it just... Be very aware and don't be surprised that people are going to say, I don't like this. It smells funny to me. It's just the way it is. It's going to happen that way. Thank you.
I'd like to address the legal fee question. One of the things that bothers me extremely is something about the last bankruptcy hearing. You guys are being sued by As I remember correctly, when you were asked to join that lawsuit against the LOCSD and the Water Board, you told me you had to protect the CSD as an entity, and we could have amended that, you know, to include the people who were actually responsible for the public fund waste of $6.5 million, which, interestingly enough, is the same price as the ACL fine that was fined illegally with fraudulent data. So what I would like to know is, are you people going to have to defend yourself with your own funds for having stood up for the community in a bad project?
We don't know that yet.
Okay. I suggest that we should have that come out of the money here that the taxpayers' waste are causing us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a song, Warren Zevon.
Identify yourself, please.
Alan Perlman. Thank from you. The Prohibition Zone. Warren Zevon, I believe. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dave Dugan got it right, this thing, because of its history, because of its multiple histories, because of the legal histories, but mostly because of your nature as both a business and a quasi-governmental organization. This thing has folded up on itself so many times, it's like saltwater taffy. I mean, if you really want to go backwards in time, Julie Briggs was, I believe, part author of Measure B, or full. I mean, this thing is braided really tight, and people can accuse wrongdoing in and out. But my recommendation for you is not to lose your focus. Everything can be sued about. Everything can be brought up. You know who you are. You know who the person sitting next to you is. And you can proceed. Yeah, lawyers, guns, and money. It's not that important. I would like to see you direct your lawyers to focus on the primary things and not be as reactive.
I would like to see comments directed to the September and October financial statements.
Well, in that case, my time is up. Thank you.
Thank you. I think I know where this is going, and it's going to be continued, but I suppose any further public comment on this item tonight? Okay, thank you. We'll bring it back to the board. And at this point, I'll make a motion to approve the financial statements for the periods ending September 30th, 2007, and October 31st, 2007.
I'll second it.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Good. Thank you. Seems like I usually hear two out of three ain't bad, so. yeah. Obviously, I'm okay, we're on to consent calendar item number 7, extend current terms for standing advisory committee members. And do you have any comments before we go to public comment on that?
Well, yeah, we're talking about extending current terms for standing advisory committee members. And I guess the rationale given is to participate in the strategic planning. And we don't have through February 15th, and we don't have meeting scheduled right now, any meeting scheduled right now. The second item is on the wastewater committee. It's my feeling that in relation to the county project now, these matters relating to wastewater and water disposal should be done by the water operations committee. And so I really think at this point, and also I've talked to Gordon Taylor, who I don't know which director appointed him. It wasn't me, but he's
you know, he's indicated that, you know, we don't need a wastewater committee. And Gordon Taylor is someone that I respect immensely. I think before many of the people on this board even got involved, he was a committee member. And as oftentimes in opposition to, you know, opinions and direction given. And I take that to heart. I take that to heart. And when I see that the committee is atrophied, I wonder how truly representative it's become. And also we heard comments tonight about having specific focus. And I'm, you know, standing committees are fine, but I'm a big believer in if you have a single issue, you address that single issue. And it was brought up by Mr. Bearden, you know, having a focus of a septic tank management outside the district, which to me would be, I think, a good choice for an ad hoc committee. And as well, you know, it's brought up the basin plan. So that would be a single focus, I think, for an ad hoc committee if we do address that. But I don't support this thing going forward unless I would make the change except for the wastewater committee. And then I guess I'll go on here for a public comment.
Director Sennett.
You know, I'm sorry, it's kind of late and I'm not getting everything. Are you proposing that we suspend the wastewater committee? Is that what you're saying?
On this action? No, I'm just, I would say we won't extend the wastewater
wastewater committee?
Right.
Okay. And I would say that you know, a dissatisfaction with a momentary lull or he feels it's stagnant, that's one committee member's opinion, and that things change rather rapidly. Within a moment's notice, we learn different news. It vastly changes the whole landscape, and new things come into light.
I guess I also have a question for staff. In the committee memberships are also coming up, and so we would usually go through a committee appointment process as well. So in terms of, you know, extending the terms for these, why are we coming out with extending the terms versus, you know, getting in applications for committee members?
Well, yes, Mr. Shemp.
If you extend it, I mean, all we're doing is pushing the system out 2 months at this point. So we would be going, it would be my intention at the moment to go with the normal process just 2 months further on, you know, going, asking for appointments and volunteers, board making their selections, et cetera, as I understand you've done in the past. So I was not suggesting any changes to the system other than to utilize the current sitting board to provide, excuse me, current sitting committees based on their years of experience, or at least a year of experience, to help out on the strategic planning. It's not to say that new members couldn't do just as well. So that's why it's on the agenda for you folks to make a decision.
In a sense, I could see it kind of being a nice reward for the people who worked on a committee for a year to participate in the strategic planning for the district, because quite often the committee meetings are rather empty and lacking substance. I wouldn't say often, but it happens, and that's maybe where Mr. Taylor, and I have the greatest respect for Gordon. His work has been invaluable, but I'm not at all inclined to disband that committee. Director Sennett.
Yeah, I kind of feel Gordon Taylor's frustration, and I think with the vision, the strategic plan, looking forward to that, I think might revitalize his interest, and you know, he may feel frustrated working with the people that are there, but. I think the prospect of working in that capacity, I think, would rekindle his interest, and I think he might take a different view.
Well, we can leave that to Mr. Taylor. That's entirely his decision. And at this point, let's take public comment on this item.
Dave Dugan-Lososos, my suggestion last year was to combine wastewater with environmental. And as it stood, I think we really spread it thin for the best and the brightest between the both. And that would be what I would think we would do with wastewater and environmental, specifically and especially since the next stage of the county's process that's coming up, that we go ahead and let the current terms run out with new applications for a combined wastewater environmental. And I think that would be better representative of the community as well. And it would save a lot of time and effort instead of having two different meetings for things that could cover the same thing and there would be some kind of duplication coming up with the next part of
that. Another reason for a two-month delay would be for your new GM to evaluate the committee structure and be able to make recommendations that may well follow the comments that were just heard or wherever. I didn't put that down as an item because that's the driving force now, I would like to say, is the strategic planning. But I have to admit, in the back of my mind was an opportunity to take a little better look at the whole committee system and perhaps make some recommended changes or throw it on as an agenda item so that we can get input. But I don't think tonight, I mean, that's not the intent tonight, is to restructure the committees. That was not my intent for putting it on the agenda.
Thank you.
James T. Cachelo, Associate Chair of the Wastewater Committee. I understand. I don't understand the move to disband the committee, but I do understand some of the frustration in dealing with the committee. And I have talked with Mr. Taylor, who I also have the utmost respect for and appreciate having him there because he's a walking encyclopedia of past history about everything Los Osos related to water and wastewater. So I rely on his expertise a lot. But as I mentioned earlier in my committee report tonight, one of the things that our committee is looking for is more direction from what the LLCSD Board of Directors wants us to be looking at. And we'd like to see maybe even, set up items specifically set up for each meeting that they want us to study. So I think part of the frustration right now is not looking at the county process. We've been through that with the fine screening and everything. In fact, our agenda item for January was to discuss what issues we feel are critical be involved in the county EIR on the upcoming EIR on the wastewater project as it relates to wastewater. So we're still staying involved with the process. I know some in the community don't feel we should be reviewing the county's process, but I'd like to remind the community that we're the ones that will be paying for it and we're the ones that are going to be living with it for eternity, essentially. So I think we do have a vested interest in keeping an eye on what they're doing and commenting on what they're doing. As far as restructuring the committees, I've heard that approach are discussed also. And, some restructuring maybe is in order. I think that those are all good things to talk about and kick around. So thank you.
Thank you.
On. Along Perlman Prohibition Zone, and I have been on your environmental committee, and I've told you in the past that your committees are your power, but you have to impose some discipline on your committees. You have to let them know what you're about in terms of what their functions are. So that's a process, it's a communication, and it's been going fairly well. The board liaisons sometimes reflect their own interests, which is normal. They're human. But the committees have actually done you a very good service, and that includes the Wastewater Committee. Mr. Tanotsky isn't here, but I think he described himself once as organizational expert. And I can't get into the definition of a team versus definition of a working group, but your wastewater committee has been more of an aggregate of juggernauts, applying discipline to committees in general. I was on an environmental committee that was looking for focus, and it ended up wasting a whole meeting listening to a member of public who was shipping an idea. You've got to put some Robert's Rules of Order, make sure that your
chairs understand the distractions, but the other thing you need to do in the care and feeding of your committee members is give them some idea of the regularity. In other words, see them as something of value, not something that you can turn off for 2 months or something like that. Again, the Wastewater Committee, I don't think you can de-wastewater this CSD. Some of the suggestions are good in terms of reorganization. Gordon is a little worn out. I imagine Sean Kelly, the alternate there, I've seen him, amazing patience. He's a dad, so that's where that comes from probably. But help your committees, understand them, be involved with their makeup, make them into teams. They're already a little bit of that, but, you know, they'll return the more you put effort into them. Thank you.
Richard Margetson, short and sweet, this agenda item is basically just to extend the appointments at this point. I think you should get to the strategic meeting, have this part of this as a discussion then, you know, what you want to do with certain committees, if you want to combine them, give them. But, and I also think that you have to start being aware that you have to start giving all of the committees direction. Some you give a little more direction than others, and some have gone by the wayside. And you don't want your committees sitting around grasping for ideas that they should be looking at. I'm surprised Jim didn't ask for it to be extended for 6 months, but that's an inside joke.
Thank you.
I think he's been sentenced to permanent membership.
Good evening again. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Angeles. The comments about Mr. Taylor being a storehouse of history and the wastewater of this community is great. One of the very few meetings I've gone to in Wastewater Committee, I had an argument with I think her name, Mrs. Robinson there, Christine Robinson, telling us that the end of 2701 was already law when it was amendments to the existing law and et cetera. But that was the meeting that Gordon Taylor told us about, how Buell and somebody sat down with a small laptop and figured out that Tri-W was the actual best place to put the sewer. So, you know, how could that possibly have happened? Garbage in, garbage out. Anyway, I believe, too, it sounds like our new general manager would like to extend the committees that long, and I think we should go along with him and support him on his request. Thank you.
First, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Maybe it carries.
Motion passes.
Passes
motion
2 out of 3.
Passes.
Okay.
The distinction is that resolutions and ordinances, for example, all take a 3-member vote, but general operation things do not. So
we have a quorum, and that suffices. Okay. Okay, I believe that wraps up the consent calendar, and we've touched upon next Thursday's meeting, a joint meeting with LOCAC here, 7 p.m. to talk about water conservation ordinances. That's been on everyone's mind for months, if not years. And then again, we'll be back here January 3rd. Don't forget Saturday. It's fun. It's a good cause. And hopefully the community can get together for a good time. It is the holiday season, so I've been told. I think that's Christmas. And director's comments, anything tonight that you want to?
Yeah, not just the event, but preceding that, of course, is the parade. So be sure to go to the parade first. It's always entertaining. And then next week, this is, maybe Steve can help me out. Next week is the Morro Bay High choir and band performances at the PAC, or is it the week after that? We should know. Either way, if it's next week or the week after, it's always a great thing to support our local
musicians, the choir that you know performed at the tree lighting ceremony in Morro Bay. They're a very talented group, as is the band and the jazz band. I can't say enough about our band. When you go and see other bands around the county, we are double or triple the size of schools that have twice the enrollment. It's a real testimony to the that what Colleen does and what Bryn Bellier does. So I hope people do attend those and support them. They're quite talented too. And one other thing, I got distracted with something that was fun. One thing I'd like to say, you know, people talk in terms of, you know, the district protecting, you know, the residents, but you know, I think in this instance, since the assessment vote, the homeowners are protecting the district, and I think we should need the district be mindful of that homeowner vote. The homeowner, that action, that approval, is given an opportunity for the district and an opportunity that I don't want to see squandered in getting resolution to issues. And I'm looking forward to seeing them resolved as rapidly as possible.
Director Sennett.
Well, going back to the high school band and choir, the music boosters sold Christmas trees, and I'd like to remind anybody who did purchase a tree from the music boosters that they can pick them up tomorrow at Morro Bay High. And adding on to the significance of the 218 vote, that residents who did approve it with their vote, I think, are entitled to go to the water board and demand that they suspend.
You're here. Santa will be here. Cookies will be here. Bands, choirs. I'm glad to hear that about our local schools and band programs, because those kind of things suffer quite often. And I always kind of felt sorry for musicians in the sense that they can't help it. They have to play. It's in them, whether they're getting paid or not. It's what they enjoy doing, and the rest of us get to take advantage of that. And thank God for musicians. And with that, I'll say good night, and we'll see you in a week. Thank you.
And I think you ought to wear a tie every time.
One more time. You can fool me once.